Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 37. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. We call this the blessed hope that we have of the Lord Jesus Christ not coming back to set up his kingdom, but coming back into the air. Arise, my love, my fair one, the dead in Christ raised, we which are alive, caught up to be with the Lord. And what reason, we might say, do we sing sometime, our hearts beat high, the dawn is nigh that ends our pilgrim story in thine eternal glory. Why should we feel that we are on the tiptoe of expectation of that blessed and rapturous moment to be at hand? Well, let's consider something in the Old Testament. We're not going to turn to this because I want to be brief, leave time for someone out the others. But in the Old Testament then, in the book of Daniel, there was that vision. And the head of gold, and then silver, and brass, and iron, the toes of iron and clay. And so it represented those empires that have come and gone. There was Babylon, there was Medo-Persia, there was a Grecian empire, there was a Roman empire, and then the ten toes. And then it said in that vision, there was a stone cut out of the mountain without hands. And it came and it smashed that image and it ground it to powder, and that stone became a great mountain and filled the earth. Well, what do we learn by that? The Babylonian Empire has come and gone, been overthrown by Medo-Persia, Grecian Empire, the Roman Empire with the two legs consisting of Rome and Constantinople, the two parts, the eastern and the western part of the Roman Empire. And now, do we not see, at least, I can't be emphatic or dogmatic, but now the revived Roman Empire with those that common market over in Europe, we are down to the ten toes. What's next? The Lord to come as a smiting stone and to grind all of that as he will come out in Revelation 19 and destroy and put down all of these empires, all of these nations at that time and establish his kingdom. So as I say, there we are in that image down to the time when the Lord will come in his glorious second coming and put down all of this rebellion and these nations that would oppose him. Well, that's the Old Testament. How about the New? There are seven churches: Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea. And they present to us that whole time the Christian testimony on earth. Ephesus, the time period. I have those specific times in my Bible. I'm just going to mention these things to you. Ephesus has come and it's gone. Smyrna, thou shalt have persecution 10 days. That was the persecutions that went from Nero to Diocletian. 10 specific persecutions of the church at that time. Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos. Pergamos was amalgamation. It was a time when Constantine, or Tyne, however you want to say it, saw this sign in the sky and to go forth and conquer in the sign of the cross. And he did, and he won victories in battle. And then he set up Christianity, was sprinkling all this water upon all these Roman soldiers, and all, you're all Christians now. Amalgamation, the church, so-called, at that time, and the world united. Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira. Thyatira, then, is next. Thyatira means continual sacrifice. And between 800 and 1500, the Roman Catholic Church rose to its ascendancy. And there are certain characteristics. If you ever want to find a good, what do they call them, cassette, get to David Hunt's cassette on the 17th chapter of Revelation and find the 10 specific instances or pictures there that unmistakably shows you who that is in the 17th chapter of Revelation. That system that had idolatry connected with it and was drunk with the blood of the saints. It could be none other than a particular huge denomination that is on the scene even to this day, but will receive It's judgment in a coming day by the Lord. Well, these periods, the next then was Sardis, which means those escaping. And it is the time of the Reformation when Martin Luther, Calvin, Knox, Zwingli, Melanchthon, these ones. And remember, I remember when I went to Bible school, and over our notes in the Doctrine of the Church, it says, we are indebted to the Reformers for the great truth of justification by faith. We are indebted to J.N.D., I didn't know who it was, J.N.D. and the brethren for the great truth of restoring back the truth of the church. Well, they gave credit where credit was due. But then after that, we have Philadelphia, and we don't dare say boastfully, you know, that we are Philadelphia. But it is true that we don't gather to any name whatsoever. We meet on the ground of the one body with the realization that the Lord Jesus is in the midst and the Spirit of God is here. We don't need... Remember, Mr. Darby put out a pamphlet, and it was so strong, I think it was practically withdrawn. And he said that he believed that the present clerical situation was sinning against the Holy Ghost. Well, I say it's a very strong statement, but really, when they put a man through these schools, finally they lay their hands on him, they ordain him and give him the title of reverend, in which he is entitled to take over a congregation, and that's foreign to the Word of God. And so that is a usurpation of really what the Word of God teaches about the Lord will raise up a group of Christians, come together, the Spirit of God can work. Remember in Acts, what is chapter 13, we didn't find a one-man ministry there, but we find five brothers that are spoken of that were in that church at Antioch, a plurality of ministry. Well, Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and where are we now? Where is the coldness? And we've heard some of the ministry that would tell us, and that cares of things all around, not that complete devotedness to the Lord and the desire to please Him in all that we say or do. Well, let's own it. Let's own where we are. Let's own our condition. Let's look and trust by the grace of God that He will stir up our hearts that we might live for His glory until that shout comes.